Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting and Car Wash Network. I am here, as usual, with my friend and colleague, JJ Sefton. We're going to do a short one if we can, if the two of us can shut our mouths for a little while. We're just going to chat about the fun things that are happening in the news. I think that Sefton is going to start with one of them. Take it away,
Yes.
Mr. Sefton.
Well, thank you. Here we are washing the car. And in any event, it is basically the first 100 days of Trump's second term in office. And there are some amazing things happening, and there are some bumps in the road as to be expected. Mainly, there are good things in the economy, and there are some bumps in the economy. But overall, he is just his main accomplishment is sealing the damn border and the reactions to that, which have been just the most insane and crazy reactions, both from the judicial standpoint and from the Democrat Party politics standpoint, and so on and so forth. And it's an amazing thing to see.
The vitriol and the irrational hatred of Donald Trump is something that I guess I understand, but it simply makes no political sense. It worked in the run-up to the 2020 election, I think. It energized the Democrat base, but I don't see that broad base energy this time around. I think that it's they're trying to target it. But they're targeting absolutely the wrong things. The cause célèbre of the Democrat Party right now is a fucking human trafficker who beats his wife. I mean, you can't script that as a Republican and a conservative. How would you script that? You would laugh. If somebody said, "Oh, they're gonna support this guy," you'd laugh. You say, "No, they're not. That they're not stupid enough to do that." Well, folks, I think they are.
They're very stupid, and but it's stupidity, and as I've sort of commented from time to time, it's also hubris. They just think because the media is on their side, and they sort of underestimate the intelligence of average Americans, and also they rely on the equally brainwashed masses that are their base. So they think they could just get away with anything. Yes, you support terrorists and criminals, but the vast majority of American people are, especially in these first 100 days, are behind in backing Donald Trump's efforts to seal the border and make sane immigration policy the order of the day here in America, regardless of where you're from. And anybody who opposes that is out of their mind. So, and it also highlights there is this supposed and definite sort of rift within the Democrat Party between, as I say, the left hand and the far left hand, and that culminated in the sacking of Mr. Little Shitler David Hogg as the DNC chair
Was
from
he?
his post. And
Yeah, so he's one of the co-chairs, right?
I believe a co-chair of the
Yeah,
party.
did they sack him, or are they just talking about it?
I think he, well, they may be just talking about it, but it looks by all appearances as he may be on the way out. But I mean, it just sort of shows the schizophrenia of that party. It's between trying to keep your base energized and trying to pretend to be semi-sane and put up a face of a phony face of moderation. But how can you do that if you are backing, the return of this trend to Aragua terrorist? And opposing all of Donald Trump's policies merely because he's Donald Trump, and merely because there's a threat to your worldview, then you are caught between the devil and the deep blue sea, and I'm just sitting back and enjoying it and passing the popcorn.
Yep. The great thing about David Hogg is that he is arrogant and stupid, and that's a wonderful combination for everybody on the right side of the spectrum. He apparently the DNC chairman ha said he has no intention of forcing Hogg out of the leadership, but it doesn't matter. Whether they get rid of him is secondary to the churning, the constant chaos. That is obviously the core of the Democrat Party right now. And we just need to sit back and pop some popcorn and enjoy the show. It's a
Absolutely.
glorious
Look,
thing.
they can get rid of David Hogg, but the problem is, look who they are pushing at the forefront of the party. It's Bernie Sanders and Titicaca AOC Cortez. If those are the two people you're pushing to be your future superstars, then I don't know. You either got a lot of problems, or you just have confidence that the people that vote for you are just gonna go for it. And it's just,
Well, yeah, those two are great. I think they're fantastic. Bernie Sanders is unelectable to any office outside of Vermont and Minnesota and maybe California. Illinois, I'll give them that. He's an 80-something socialist buffoon. He sounds like an ass. He speaks like an ass, and he regurgitates 80-year-old socialist workers' songs in his speeches, and it's embarrassing. At least it's for me, it's embarrassing to listen to him, and I hate that Brooklyn accent. Hey, dude, you haven't lived in Brooklyn in a long, long time. Clean it up a little bit. No
Exactly.
offense, Sefton. I know you're a Brooklyn boy.
Right, but I didn't. I mean, my mother of blessed memory was a Hungarian and an English teacher, and any time I said like, or ain't,
Got smacked.
I got a smack, and there you go. And my father of blessed memory was a Chicago boy from the South Side, so there you go.
So, and the other person on in this equation is AOC, and she too is unelectable. She's a mush-headed 30-something college student. That's what she sounds like. And whenever she tries to pretend that she actually has some sort of an intellect, she falls flat on her face. There are, many, many YouTube videos of her making a fool of herself in congressional hearings. So if the Democrat Party wants to put those two people out in front of the American people as the face of the Democrat Party, I'm happy with it. More
Right.
power to
Well,
you. Where should I send the
then
check?
exactly. Yeah. Put to me. Yeah, right. To the Cut Jib newsletter speaks tip jar. But in any event, if it's not them, then who are you going to have? You're going to have Brill Cream Gavin Newsom, the man who burnt down California. And now, California, I saw on the morning report, I had a link. They're proposing a bill that makes welfare fraud, they're not going to prosecute welfare fraud up to $20,000 or something. And I'm going,
$25,000. Yeah,
okay.
that's fantastic. These are policies that the vast majority of the American people find to be silly,
The
and that's
Republican,
being kind.
right, the
So
Republican political ads write themselves. Thank you
yes.
for writing the ads for the, it's like an in-kind contribution to the GOP. Let's see
Yes,
if
wonderful.
they can play it.
Yeah. So talking a little bit about Donald Trump, I wrote over at Cutchip newsletter, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, Ace is on vacation, so I'm writing a couple of more articles a week. I talked about the first 100 days of the Trump presidency, and the title was "And things seem to be calming down." Now, the market is getting smacked this morning, but listen, that's not that big a deal. It'll come back. But what I did was contrast the bombast of Donald Trump with the actual things he and his administration are doing. And I think it's a very, very important distinction. People, the saying is that the Republicans take him seriously, but not literally. And the Democrats take him literally, but not seriously. Well, that's actually quite true. His response to the tariffs has, I think, been in the main quite wise. He is observing their effect and adjusting them accordingly. Now, that's very, very important because these wide-ranging tariffs have never been tried before. So he and his economic advisors cannot know how the world economy is going to react. So they are observing and changing in response to those to how the world economy is reacting. And I think that's absolutely the right thing to do. I think that it's the only thing to do, in fact, and I think it's going to be successful.
I agree. And beyond that, I mean, let's face it, Donald Trump, and we've observed, I mean, anyone with half a brain has observed the complete, steamrolling of our economy, not only from within, but from Red China and from elsewhere in our offshoring of our industries and the messing up of our labor markets and everything on down the line. And that has to be addressed if we are to be a free and thriving economy once again. There's going to be a little bit of pain, but as you say, CBD, Donald Trump's no dope, and he's observing what's going on very carefully and adjusting accordingly and tacking the winds and doing what he has to make the transition to bringing industry and to bringing fair trade and free trade back to a normal and even keel carefully. And he's doing it wisely, and it's got to be done. So there you go. And he's doing it. So more power to him. And I think in the long run, you know, all things being equal, if we can maintain, you know, this kind of sane policy into the long run, it's going to be a good thing for this country. Absolutely.
You're absolutely right. So, you know, one of the things that amuses me is the Democrat technique of taking an event and extrapolating that to the entire country. So, for instance, Donald, the Trump administration is getting rid of illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. They started with the criminals, and they're continuing with the criminals, and I think they're moving on to the more public illegals who may not have come here to commit rampant crime. But let's face it, the second they step over the border, they are criminals. But what the Democrat Party does is they take that behavior that the administration is legally directing toward these illegals, and they say, well, it's going to happen to you. And I get that. It's a rhetorical technique. But I don't think that the American people are buying it very much. And as you pointed out earlier, the American people are very, very happy with Donald Trump's approach to illegal immigration, to the illegals already on our in our country. So why they are doing that, I'm not sure. I think that they're trying to whip up this mass hysteria over these deportations and in some way get the American people to say, no, that's too much. It's not going to happen. It's simply not going to happen. There are too many people who are very, very happy with what Donald Trump is doing.
Yes. And it's playing, they're trying to play up and trying to sort of bolster this, you know, this meme that's been going on now for how many years, that Trump is literally Hitler and he supports white supremacists and Christian nationalists who want to turn America into some sort of, you know, latter day Nazi Germany and round people up and ship them off to God knows where, which is funny because the left is very good at that and has been doing that for 200 years, both here in the Soviet Union and in Nazi Germany. So, you know, I mean, it was FDR that rounded up the Japanese during World War II, Japanese Americans. So, and it's funny that Michelle Obama says she can't sleep because she fears she's going to be deported. And I'm going, oh my God. I mean, this is just, if it weren't so just disgusting, it would be laughable. And as a commenter once posted, if Trump and the Republicans were literally a fraction of the Nazis that the left claims they are, the left would have been smoke up a chimney a long time ago.
Well, so they're pushing for that, and that's the scary thing. I think that the left makes the correct assumption that they are well organized, that they can energize a small base to do pretty much whatever they want them to do. And I think that's true. I think that leftists are constitutionally more comfortable with being told what to do and to work as part of a crowd and to be the mob. But
absolutely. Look, we talked about it before we went on the air. There's this floating blob of lipids that poses as the governor of Illinois, that's J.B. Pritzker, who is literally calling for, like Maxine Waters, for people to actually physically confront Republicans, members of the Trump administration, wherever they are. And we know what that means. Look what happened at Columbia. Fists and Molotov cocktails and tire irons and everything else go flying, mostly in the face of Jews, Republicans, conservatives, and everybody who seems to oppose the left. I mean, and their political enemies. And when they say by any means necessary, they mean literally that. And again, if they claim that, as they always do, that democracy, our precious democracy, is at stake, then all bets are off, and anything goes in trying to preserve that, at least meaning preserve their power. So this is surrender.
It is horrendous, but I think that they have miscalculated. Because if it does, if the country descends into general violence, I think that the great silent generation, that's the wrong phrase, the silent majority, let's say. I don't want to challenge or ch channel who said that? The silent
Richard Nixon.
Nixon, yeah, I don't want to channel Nixon, but I think the majority of Americans who just want to be left alone and, go to work and go to church and go to barbecues and enjoy their families and friends and just have a good life, I think they will respond quite forcefully. And I don't think that the left is prepared for the magnitude of that response. I've been around guns for my entire life. I know a Jew from the Bronx. Who knew that? And I'm aware of the of gun culture in the United States, and I don't think that the left understands it. I think that they are actually quite ignorant of gun culture. There are people who are very, very comfortable with violence because they understand it better than the left does. I'm not talking about street violence. I'm talking about real violence. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of Americans have guns, because they understand violence and how to prevent it, and in extremists, how to conduct it. I don't know. I'm trying to think of how does one describe controlled violence? Because the left certainly cannot control its own violence.
And it's why, and correct
I'm
me if
trying to
I'm
be
wrong on
very,
this.
very delicate here.
Yes, I mean it's why, for really, most of our lives, and for traditionally, it's why the military has been, in the main, with the exception of the draft and those who didn't dodge it, this being the 50th anniversary of the loss of Saigon, it's, in general, it's been the domain of people who are patriots, who understand America, understand what a free society is, and what the cost of a free society is, who serve in the military. And it's why the left, especially for many, many years, has tried to dismantle, as an institution, the military, because it is a bastion of American exceptionalism, American patriotism, and the foundational aspect of our free and wonderful society as it was founded. And hence why Obama tried to, and everybody tried to rip it down between DEI and all these other things, and put his flunkies in power. And they're still trying to do it. So they know that people who understand, as you say, CBD, what it means to really defend America and not defend democracy, or whatever that the platitudes the left flings. They know what it's all about. So,
Does that piss you off as much as it pisses me off when they talk about our democracy?
yes, because A,
It's
we're
a
not a
fucking
democracy.
constitutional republic, you retards.
Right. And and they have no, they
And
just
thank
want to
God it's
defend.
not a democracy.
Yes. They just want to, they have the, they see themselves as, their worldview is, they view themselves as the absolute moral authority. And they get, and it gives them the right to dictate to us what we must and must not do. And therein lies the problem. So if, God forbid, the shit hits the fan, we'll see. I mean, and plus, they've been trying to strip us of our guns for years and years and years and years and forever. And there are however many, three out of 300 million people, what, there's 200 million who have at least one or two or three or more weapons, and we're the ones that are armed to the teeth, not them. So good luck with that.
I think we should probably move on, because I'm going to say stuff
Yes.
that I would will regret. So I'm looking at a list of some significant companies that have announced increased manufacturing investment in the United States. Let's see, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company. That's a big one. They announced $100 billion more toward semiconductor manufacturing in the United States. Eli Lilly announced a very large investment. GE Aerospace, I didn't even know GE was still around, announced a big investment. Apple is onshoring some manufacturing and R&D. This is exactly the kind of stuff that Donald Trump wants to happen. Now,
NVIDIA is
oh,
opened up.
NVIDIA, that's another good
Yeah.
one. Yes, sorry, that's huge.
And there's a, I forgot which automaker is opening up both a
Hyundai.
steel mill and a manufacturing plant in Alabama.
Now, there's a lot of foreign auto manufacturing occurring in the United States simply because of existing law. The more American labor that goes into a car, the lower the tariffs, obviously. But the general point is that these tariffs are these suggested tariffs. They're not even functional yet. Well, some of them are pushing manufacturing back into the United States. Is it going to be enough? Who knows? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. But it's absolutely occurring. And for the mainstream media to claim that these tariffs are doing nothing, and they're going to scream about, oh, this recession is absolutely Trump's fault because of the tariffs, and oh my God, Biden had a great economy, which is total bullshit, by the way,
Totally.
folks. But I think the United States is going to recover from a mild recession. It's probably in recession right now.
Yeah, it'll
And
recover.
I'll bet you in a year we are going to be doing great.
And by the way, along with that, it should not be forgotten that many of the restrictions and the strangulating regulations on our fossil fuel industry, which the Biden junta had tried to, and Obama junta had tried to destroy, have been lifted. Offshore, a lot of these stupid offshore windmill programs are being destroyed, and more drilling for oil, natural gas, and coal mining, and even our, these rare earth metals are being permitted once again. So this is all
That's a big
great
deal
news.
because people talk, oh, China has a monopoly on it. No, they don't. We've got plenty of rare earth metals in the United States. They're rare. They're called rare earth metals, not because they're rare, but because they're difficult to mine, to extract. It's not a big deal. We have the technology and we have those things in our earth. We just have to go get them. And Donald
I
Trump
mean, it is.
is allowing it finally after two generations, three generations of this insane environmentalism that has pushed everything offshore.
Right. Let me, and we don't mean by offshore, we mean drilling, but and let me be clear, and I think CBD, you would agree with me on this, is that, I am all for, and I am not a pig, and we are stewards of the environment. We must do things in a safe, as safe and clean manner as we possibly can. I don't dump trash in the street. I don't defecate in the street. I don't, and that must, that should be maintained. And I think all responsible Americans and American companies will try to do that to the best of their ability. And there are laws outside of the crazy regulatory regime from the EPA that Lee Zeldin is, thank goodness, removing, that require that and ensure that. And people don't, as the expression goes, they should not shit where they eat. But beyond that, we shouldn't make it unbearably impossible to go after the materials that we need to get in order to manufacture the goods that people want and need here in this country. And I think that is what we will do and going forward and what we should do. And
What you're
let me.
saying is that we need a rational environmental policy. And we
Exactly.
did have one for a long, long time. Listen,
And to ignore this
you and I
nonsense about
are
climate change and, that bullshit.
yeah. You and I are both about the same age, and we remember the United States when it was polluted. I
Yes.
remember as a kid seeing this yellowish brown haze over New York City as we drove in to visit relatives. And I remember, highways that were liberally covered in trash and
Yep.
burned out. Well, that's New York, but
That's New
burned
York,
out
but
cars
still.
on the side of the road, and rivers that were polluted, and even the oceans were the coastlines at least were polluted. And in the 70s, America decided that that's not acceptable, and we changed it. The United States of America right now is unbelievably clean. It is an incredible, incredible place. We have become very good stewards of the natural world around us. And
You
we
know,
have
the
proven that we can do it.
absolutely. And you know, if you go back to the Los Angeles, you know, the wildfires that devastated Pacific Palisades, this was crazy policy, environmental wackoness, because they wouldn't do controlled burning, which you needed. So that hopefully, well, that's California, but I mean, you know, Newsom and whatever name notwithstanding, but we were that that needs to those kind of things need to be reinstituted. And by the way, in reminiscing about New York and America going back, for those of you who want to take a look at it and see how it was, you can get a hint of it. If you watch reruns of All in the Family, the opening and closing credits, where they show aerial shots of New York City, even black and white as it is from 50 odd years ago, you could still see the haziness of the atmosphere in those shots of New York City. And I remember, it was the smog days, and you know, you had
Yeah.
obviously in LA, you had smog alerts, and it was horrendous. But our environment is much cleaner than it was a generation or two ago. It is incredibly incredible how clean it is. And the worst offenders on the planet are obviously the red Chinese, and to a greater or lesser extent, India. They are gross polluters. They're horrible. And they're not going to do a damn thing. They don't care.
I don't particularly care what China does to its own land. I don't particularly care what India does to its own land.
Right. The problem is they dump in the Pacific Ocean, and
Yes.
it drifts eastward towards America, and you know, and it kills wildlife, it kills the fisheries, it kills everything. And then you know, so that has to be stopped. But that's the red Chinese.
Yeah, they're real charmers, aren't they?
Absolutely.
So what else is going on?
Well, let us see. Canada has decided to elect yet another communist to its to be its premier, and so they're committing national suicide if they aren't dead already. They're just driving a stake through the heart of what it used to be. That's pretty horrible. Romania, though, has a shot at electing a Trump-like president. So hopefully that goes well if George Soros and Dominion doesn't steal that election.
Yeah. So Canada's interesting. They got rid of Trudeau because he was a clown. He was an embarrassing clown. And they hired, well, they elected a Trudeau-like figure who's simply better at it. He's a technocrat, so he comes off as a as one of these brilliant elites who is going to fix what ails Canada. But he is a tried and true liberal, so there's no way that he is going to fix what ails Canada. The problem, of course, is that he's simply brighter and probably better at the manipulation of government than Trudeau ever was. So I think Canada is in for a bad few years. What I would like to see is him bend the knee to Donald Trump. And I think he's going to have to.
Yeah, I mean they it's not that they need us more than we need them. It's just they do need us. And you know, and right now Donald Trump is holding the upper hand in terms of trade and other policies. So, you know, and Canadians, unfortunately, good Canadians, they're suffering. But if they're going to elect, you know, look, it's, you know, you made your bed, guys, up there, you're going to have to sleep in it. So it's too bad.
Well, it doesn't bother me that much. So, that Democrat from Michigan,
Ugh.
who has filed articles of impeachment against Donald Trump, is a guy named, he's a representative from, I don't even know where in Michigan, Detroit or Ann Arbor, or maybe Lansing, who the hell knows. His name is Sri Thanadar, something like that.
Fentanyl, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, and Seth and I were talking b before the we started recording, and he's a backbencher. He's an unimportant man. He's trying to grab his 15 minutes of fame. But what's interesting is that before he ran for Congress, he owned or was the CEO or president of a medical testing company, and they went out of business, and they simply locked the doors and walked away. Unfortunately, there were a couple of hundred animals still in the facility. And some of their ex-employees hopped the fence, broke in, tried to feed them. And eventually the authorities discovered what was going on and relocated the animals. But that's the kind of man he is. And he's got the balls to go after Donald Trump, which I find is fascinating. This maybe that in microcosm is the Democrat Party.
I mean, it's yeah. I mean, they're perverts, pedophiles, abusers, and yet they're stupid enough to go after an impeachment again. Which all, every time they went after an impeachment of Donald Trump, his approval rating increased. So you're going to do that now? Okay, if that's what you guys want. I mean, even Adam Schiff for Brains was talking about impeachment. I mean, it's just. I mean, it's the same tired. I mean, the only difference is that it's this shrill fentanyl, whatever the hell his name is. It's just a different character pulling it off. But I mean, it's the same thing. What are you going to have, Hakeem Jeffries? Are you going to have Adam Schiff? You're going to have whoever calling for impeachment? It's the same people, the same tired playbook over and over again. And at some point, yes, when the economy settles down, when all the illegal immigrants or most of them are rounded up and thrown out, and the employment numbers are looking better and better, when prices are going down, when crime is going down, when everything is looking good, you're going to go for impeachment? Yeah, this is, look, the Republican GOP ads, for the midterms and whatever, write themselves. So please keep it up, fellas. You're doing great at the DNC. Keep it up.
So the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, does anybody remember who Tim Walz was? Yeah, he had
Does anybody
his
remember
moment in the
Lassiter?
sun last fall. He apparently thinks that the possibility of the Democrats retaking control of the Senate is very small. Let's put it that way. He says that he's very pessimistic about their prospects. Which I like to hear that. He thinks that they'll take back the House, which actually scares the shit out of me. That's a very,
Yeah, that
very
one.
bad thing. But I have a friend who is an inveterate poll watcher and quite knowledgeable about analyzing polls and election trends. And he, at least for now, is quite sanguine about the prospects of the Republican Party. It looks like the Democrats, in spite of them being front and center in every media report, they're not doing very, very well. So, but again, we're a year and a half from the
Right.
midterms, so it's not like anything that's going on right now is going to affect that very
Right.
much.
And as we get closer, we will try to have our friend Dave in Florida, who is our poll watcher and election guru, back on to give us his analysis, obviously, as we get closer and closer, because right now polls are meant to, they're just meant to, just to sway public opinion and to just to muddy the waters, as we all know. So it's we shall see. And so it'll be an interesting couple of years, and you never know things. I mean, there's a lot of instability in Iran. There's even a lot of instability in China. I mean, not that I'm expecting the Communist Party to fall, but I mean, we can't predict the future, but I mean, there are some interesting things going on in the world and obviously here that could certainly prove very, very influential in one way or the other with the elections, hopefully in a positive way for, first of all, for the people involved, and certainly for the GOP and for us here at home.
So let's close it out, but I want to leave on a high note, and that is that China just caved on their own 125% tariff on a major American export. It's called ethane, which is a precursor to lots and lots of things. So they've waived that 125% tariff, which is, I think it happened yesterday. And that's exactly the kind of stuff that we need to see more and more and more. That's what Donald Trump wanted, and that's what Donald Trump got. And when I
Right.
say Donald Trump, is he the only person in the administration? No. I think 8 years ago he was,
Right.
but he has chosen a bunch of good people to help him. And I'm
That's it.
much, much more optimistic about the version two compared to version one.
Absolutely. He's got some very good people there. And regardless of I mean, hopefully it's petering out the BS attempt to set have have Pete Hegseth sacked at the Defense Department.
Yeah,
So
that's calming down.
hopefully that's good. And
Yeah.
Scott Bessent at Treasury is great. So now it's a question of this imbecile at the Fed, which is not a Trump, obviously, guy. It's what's his name? Hopefully, if he can cut interest rates, that gives us the chance to pay off at least the interest payments on the national debt, if not pay down the debt at a reasonable rate. And that's another goal of President Trump.
Yeah.
But of course, it's up to Congress to also just stop the spending and borrowing and to slow that down. So that's where we also hit a lot of headwinds there too, but we shall see.
We shall see. Yeah, the next Fed meeting is in May, I think. So it's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, Powell.
Jerome Powell. Jerome Powell?
Yeah, Jerome Powell.
Yeah.
Trying to say William Powell or Dick Powell, but no, it's
Yeah.
not any of those guys.
Yeah, so we'll see what he does. I think he'll do the right thing. Wow. Will he do the right thing? Yeah, I think
Well,
he's probably going to cut. I'll bet he's going to cut 0.25%.
right. So
Let's face it,
at least
we
those
still
yeah.
have inflation, so that's a little scary. But with a contraction, a small contraction in the economy last month, I think it probably makes sense to cut, not big, but cut small. So
Right.
we shall see. Anyway, folks, thank you very, very much for listening. Thank you for hitting the tip jar. Thank you for commenting both at Cut Chip Newsletter and at Ace of Spades, where both Sefton and I write. We will probably talk to you next week. Sefton, take it away.
Yes, sir. And just before we close out, I just want to say a Godspeed and a rest in peace to a true warrior for freedom, a man named David Horowitz, who was the editor and publisher of frontpagemagazine.com, as well as Discover the Networks. And I hope his staff, and I'm sure they will continue on. He was a true wonderful writer and voice of reason, a former leftist who became a staunch warrior for freedom and a patriot. So rest in peace, David Horowitz, and God bless all of you for being out there and being with us. And we will see you again on the next one.
Thanks for listening, folks.